task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, folks. The elephant in the room this week is a clown show. If you paid any attention to the NATO summit this week, you recognize that Donald Trump was a punch-drunk clown wandering from room to room, yelling at random strangers, and essentially embarrassing himself and the United States of America. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't shock me. But I noticed something very interesting happened this week at the NATO summit. And this is the decline and fall of Trump captured in a couple of moments that you should take a little heart from. I know this show is not always like a bucket of laughs and a ray of sunshine. But what you saw this week in Ankara was a diminished Trump. The old pranks, the old temper tantrums, the old, I die, I'm running around the room. I'll leave. We'll get out of NATO. These people learned how to play him. And they did. Donald Trump's like the drunk Facebook uncle. Okay, shows up at Thanksgiving. He's like, well, I read on Facebook that a cop that knows a friend of my cousin's brother's uncle and his co-worker saw a Haitian eating a dog.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
You know the drunk uncle. You. Many of us have experienced the drunk uncle. I have not, but many of us have. Trump was the drunk uncle. He wandered around the entire thing screaming, oh, Spain's a bad ally. We're going to cut off all trade and travel to Spain.
Spain is a wasted cause. We don't want to do any trade business with Spain anymore, by the way. I'd like you to cut it out. Spain is a terrible partner in NATO. They don't participate. They don't pay. I don't want anything to do with Spain. Cut off all trade with Spain, please, including visits. Okay, we don't want anything to do. Watch them come running back. Oh, they'll come running back. They treat this man terribly. And this man's a good man, too. Great man. They're lucky they have him. But Spain doesn't agree to anything. And you shouldn't carry him. I mean, you sort of automatically carry because you're protecting an area. So they're there. So they probably figured they have to protect us, right? But we don't have to. We don't have to trade with them. I don't want to do any more trade with them. All right? Sure. Take it immediately. Don't even talk to them. They're hopeless. Bad people.
We'll see how that goes. He referred to the Islamic Republic of Japan.
We had 111 missiles shot by the Islamic Republic of Japan.
Twice. Attacking the United States. I will tell you, now, look, I'm not a full area, subject area expert on Japan, but the last time I checked, they were not an Islamic Republic. But he embarrassed himself and he embarrassed us because the Trumpian ability to make the camera turn to him has been beautifully subverted by the Europeans and by NATO allies. All the serious meetings happened in other rooms. All the serious discussions happened in other rooms. They marched Trump around like a circus animal. They manipulated him, and they've learned to do it. In the room, it's like, oh, sir, you're the tallest, handsomest, smartest man we've ever met. All men desire to be you, and all women desire to sleep with you. You are just an amazing president.
If you could have seen the respect and the love in the room, and it's love really for the country, for our country. I don't want to say me, because you'll say, oh, he's so conceited. He's such a conceited person. But they do. I mean, you know, they like the job I'm doing. They said, we love you. These are grown people saying that. Isn't that nice? Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're trying to get to me.
Except for a couple. Maloney, when Trump tried to walk by her, like tried to steam by her, like, I didn't want to go to the prom with you anyway. She had the most beautiful, gorgeous Italian woman expression that if you've done a real Italian woman, only they can deliver that expression. I can't even imitate it. I can't even get close to it. But that like combination of amusement, contempt, derision, beautiful. absolutely perfect, bellissima.
But the rest of them did what NATO's been doing lately. They work together in the defense of Europe, in the defense of NATO. They know the biggest threat is Vladimir Putin. And by the way, if you haven't read it yet, go read the Der Spiegel piece. Michael Weiss and others wrote about the cooperation between Russia and China in the Ukraine war. It is astounding journalism, a fantastic piece. But NATO gets it. They know what they're up against. They know they're up against a implacable and relentless Vladimir Putin. Even Donald Trump understands that Putin is losing now, that Ukraine has the power to reach out across the entire Russian nation and strike Russia's most strategically important assets. They're knocking out Russia's oil and gas energy structure one day at a time. They can't be stopped. Why? Because they've run through all of their anti-missile systems, and they've parked most of their S-400 SAM systems around Moscow now. Hey, if you've got a great business idea, Shopify makes it easy to make it happen. Everything you need to start selling is included in Shopify. You're ready to go from day one. From the moment your first online customer is ready to pay, Shopify checkout helps move them from their selection to purchase. All the details are already saved, so it's one tap and they're done. Shopify takes all the friction out of online shopping because they handle the setup, they handle the checkout. You build the product line, they build the tools to help grow your business. And when you can grow your business and not have to worry about the back end, not have to worry about the details, not have to worry about the coding and the checkout stuff, you've got a chance to focus on building things that people will come back to over and over again. That's why it's no surprise to us that Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to small businesses just getting started to super PACs. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and growing a real business. Use Shopify today and make it one. Start your free trial at shopify.com/Lincoln Project. shopify.com/Lincoln Project. We're reaching the part where Putin should recognize from history where he's in a bunker, his war is collapsing, he's surrounded by people who are not going to put up with it anymore. Putin is at the end. And even Trump this week not only had to acknowledge it, and you saw he had to acknowledge it, he did not want to, but he had to play nice at long last with Vladimir Zelensky.
So one of the things we're going to be talking about is we're going to give a license to you to make Patriots. That's pretty cool, right? This way you can't complain that we're not giving them enough. I say, make them yourself. We haven't informed the company of that yet, but that'll work out all right. You know, I'm sure they'll be thrilled.
Trump loves Putin. He wants Putin to win. He wants Russia to win. But he finally figured it out this week. Russia ain't winning. He finally figured it out this week that no matter how many hissy fits he throws about Greenland or NATO spending on defense.
Well, that's what hurt my relationship with NATO, because Greenland doesn't help Denmark. Denmark doesn't spend money to really help Greenland, but it's an important part for the United States. And it's surrounded by China ships and Russian ships. And that's not going to happen. The ships is, it's not going to happen. It was Greenland that and it continues to be, that should be controlled by the United States, not by Denmark. And when they wouldn't go along with it, and with all the money we spend to help them with Russia, and we don't have to spend any money, we could remove all of our soldiers out of Europe. Because as you probably noticed, Europe's a very different place than it was 20 years ago. A lot different, much different. It's a much different, and they better be careful.
Or whatever other imaginary demon is in his head that moment. That NATO and Ukraine are the bulwark in a war that Russia has waged illegally, and that he is a loser in a war he started with Iran. Ukraine and NATO are winning. Trump is losing. Trump does not like losing. He does not like being a loser, even though he is a loser. So he is absolutely desperate right now to try to get back on the right side of history. Not because he likes Zelensky or Ukraine. He hates them. He hates them both. And the most beautiful moment of that whole event, the most beautiful moment of the clown show, is Trump looks at Zelensky and says, would you go to Moscow? He wants Zelensky to go to Moscow to negotiate with Putin. And Zelensky goes, no, it's very dangerous there. A lot of Ukrainian drones.
I don't know that he'd go to Moscow. Maybe he would. Would you go to Moscow?
It's difficult. There are a lot of Ukrainian drones there. That's right. It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
Budapest?
Europe?
No, it's hard to go to Moscow.
Zelensky is a brilliant war leader and world leader now, but he is a trained professional comedian. At that timing, chef's kiss, baby. Right on the money. And Trump, for a moment, was trying to parse what the punchline of the joke was. It was you, Donald. It was you. You're the joke. When Ukraine had a lot of its intelligence resources from the U.S. cut off, it actually changed the course of the war. Ukraine realized that Trump was the enemy. Ukraine realized it had to build up its defense tech stack quickly. They're now the most advanced and sophisticated military industrial base in the world. Donald Trump knows he's losing. In the last 72 hours from the time of this recording, Ukraine has knocked out 21 of the Shadow Fleet tankers that Russia uses to keep its oil supply moving around the world. The Shadow Fleet is Putin's economic lifeline. Ukraine has managed thousands of drone strikes into Russia to strike pipelines, refineries, oil and gas drilling infrastructure. He's shutting down and putting Moscow now in the dark. And Trump realized it finally. And it was such a moment when Zelensky owned him in that little joke, in that little moment, you could feel the power dynamic shifting in the room and the world. The Trump of November 2025 with his dickish performance in the Oval Office, and where he and JD was, don't you own a suit?
I have been to.
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems?
What?
Bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
God bless, you will not have a war. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
What I'm
not you're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel.
You
we're going to feel very
you will
good.
Feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed from yourself
very,
to be in a very bad position, and he happens
war.
To be right about
from
it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not
Mr.
in a good
Brown.
Position.
I don't have
the cards right now. With us, you start having
not
cards.
Playing cards.
Right now, you
I'm
don't. Yeah, you're
serious,
playing cards.
Mr. President.
You're playing
I'm very
cards.
Serious.
You're gambling
the
with the lives of
war.
Millions of people.
You think
you're
you
gambling think with World War III.
That has been so inverted, because at that moment, Ukraine was kind of alone in the world. Europeans kept thinking, "Oh, the U.S. will come back in. The U.S. will come back in. The U.S. will come back in." But they didn't understand that people like Eldridge Colby and Pete Hegseth and J.D. Vance, and to a lesser degree, Marco Rubio, but not enough to do the right thing, were all at that point pretty bought in on Trump's version of a pro-Putin victory in Ukraine. They wanted a victory for Putin. I've explained this to you before why they do this. But this is another thing that happened this week that Trump, I think, finally felt slip away from the realm of possibility for him. And I'm so here for it. I'm so happy about it. Trump thought, I'm not going to go too in the weeds about Alexander Dugin's philosophy, but Bannon is American Dugin. There was this vision of Putin takes Europe, and that's his zone of control. Xi takes Asia, including Australia and New Zealand, and Taiwan, and Japan, and Korea, South, and Trump gets North and South America plus Greenland. This was their vision. This was something that was sold around that little circle, the Michael Anton circle of Trumpian post-global America thinkers. Because they don't believe in American exceptionalism. They don't believe America can play an affirmative role in the world. They don't believe American security matters beyond our, you know, the moment it turns from beach into sea is the moment our interests end, is what they think. This is a backward isolationist dipshit belief structure, of course. But they really wanted that world. And with the understanding this week that there's no more strategic depth in a country, that a drone that costs, you know, a couple thousand dollars can fly 2,000 kilometers and whack a Russian oil infrastructure position, used to take something like a ballistic missile or a $100 million fighter aircraft carrying a $5 million cruise missile or $50 million cruise missile to do it. That world has changed now. Even Trump realized it, and that's why he was so uncomfortable and awkward and old and weird at this summit. Even he realized he was being marched around like cattle and that the grown-ups had already made the decisions behind his back. That's the secret of this NATO summit, that the grown-ups had already made the decisions. That whatever Marco or Pete Hegseth or Scott Bessent or whoever the fuck else was in the cavalcade of morons and weirdos and skells and losers that he dragged with him, none of those people really mattered in the minds of the European and NATO leaders that were at this summit. Zelensky has fought from the worst hand of cards, famously, as you don't have any cards.
You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
not
cards.
Playing cards.
Right now, you don't have you're playing cards. Miss.
To be damn close to having a royal flush. And Trump doesn't want to lose. No matter how much he loves Putin, he's not going to attach himself to somebody who's going to lose. And Putin is, like most Russian strongmen and dictators, strong until he's dead, strong until he's not. There was something that reminded me of this week. It reminded me very much watching Trump be marched around and manipulated so easily by these European and NATO leaders of the movie The Death of Stalin, which if you haven't seen it, I so recommend it. It's fantastic. But it shows how this authoritarian system collapses. One day Stalin is, you know, a guy who has the power of life and death over millions of people. The next day, he's lying dead on the floor from a stroke. And the power struggle that emerges behind it is the fascinating part of the story. And what you saw with Trump collapsing this weekend, basically agreeing that we're going to let Ukraine co-produce Patriot missile, the PAC-3, the ground systems they have already, they just need to replace the anti-missile missiles, the PAC-3s. And praising Zelensky.
And we thought this would be a good time for President Zelensky and I to meet, and we'll see what we can do. But we've actually developed a good relationship. It's hard to believe, right? From the Oval Office to now, we've developed a very good relationship. And
this is not the end.
No, this is not. This is going to be the beginning, maybe.
Yeah.
Just the beginning. And, you know, the country has a lot of future. It has such great land, such great assets, such great people.
And saying to NATO in a private meeting, we don't want to leave you. We want to stay with you. They let him have his little temper tantrums, his little juvenile eruptions, his little,
Greenland, depends on a deal on Greenland.
You're never going to deal on Greenland, Donald. It's not happening. If we invaded Greenland, it would destroy not only NATO, but the world. It would make America even more of a global pariah. But he's not getting it. That's not just boob bait for his base. That's just propaganda to feed the rubes.
Oh, yeah, Trump's going to get Greenland. It'll be a fit first date.
No, it's not, kids. Grow up. Watch this entire thing, and you can see Trump losing over and over and over again. some of it was loss and some of it was surrender. Now, I want to say something about the most, again, I talk a lot about the merger of the metaphors and the realities of Trump's being the worst president we've ever had. While they're over in Turkey, they fly the Qatari bribe jet to Turkey. The normal Air Force VC-25, the presidential 747s, I've never flown on one, but I've been on it when we accepted it back in the 89, 90, something like that. Whenever it came to Andrews, got to tour it. You know, I was at the Defense Department at the time. Very cool. Those planes are equipped. And over the years, they've been increasingly more sophisticated in the equipment they've placed on them with a number of anti-missile systems, flares, chaff, electronic jamming, laser jamming, all the sorts of really interesting and high-tech stuff. This plane does not have those items. This plane also does not have something that was the great power multiplier of Air Force One, and that's the ability to be refueled in the air. So when the president travels with Air Force One, he got about an 8,000-mile range on that plane, generically speaking, rough numbers. But it can be refueled over and over again. We have a large tanker infrastructure. So the president gets in the plane in an emergency, and that 8,000-mile range, we top it off in the middle, so you've got much more. This plane doesn't have that. This plane does not have that capacity. It misses a lot of the communications things that are needed if the president is in a highly difficult contingency. Some of the public reporting has said that what L3 put on the plane was the baseline stuff they needed for presidential comms, but not all the warfighting stuff. Okay. But we went through this whole national bribe of the Qataris giving him a $400+ million airplane as a bribe, not a gift. It's a bribe. Let's be very clear about it. Trump intending to keep it when this is over. Also, that's not, no. But Trump had to abandon that play this week in Turkey. He had to give it up. Something either from the intelligence community, from the DOD, or from the Secret Service was at a level of urgency about that plane and the vulnerability of that plane that even Trump had to say, for old time's sake, we're going to go back and fly the old regular Air Force One. We're sending the special Qatari bribe jet to Mildenhall Air Force Base in England so that military families can tour it and see how wonderful it is. Again, the metaphor of the corrupt king drinking from the poison chalice and Trump having to give up the bribe jet is astounding. It is a chef's kiss. It is a beautiful, silly, ridiculous moment that just shows you how deep the corruption and stupidity runs, that he was willing to risk the lives, not only of himself, but everyone on that plane, flying it into Ankara, Turkey. By the way, Iran is a neighbor in that area. Iran has proxies in that area. Whether it was anti-missiles or whether it's anti-aircraft missiles or God knows what else, he put everybody on that plane in mortal peril, and it reached the point of urgency that somebody was able to say to him, no, sir, we're swapping planes. We're putting you back in a secure aircraft. I suspect the Qatari bribe jet is going to be used only for domestic travel in the future, if that. And that he's going to end up trying to steal it at the end and park it at Donald Trump Airport at Palm Beach, Florida. So by the way, today is the day, you're watching this on Friday, that the formal switchover is completed. And PBI, KPBI, was Palm Beach's old designation. And their new designation is, of course, KPDO. I'm kidding. That should be that. It's KDJT. This is the Mad King being managed and coddled and sucked up to, just like everybody at NATO did. It's a way for Republicans to manipulate Trump and make him happy, to give him something that he thinks is going to be meaningful, but it's not. He was punch drunk this whole week. He was reeling this whole week. This is not a guy in great shape. I think it stretches back in part to the disaster of the July 4th show. The speech was terrible. I wrote about it earlier in the week. You can read it. The concept of operations of this entire thing has been a train wreck. He recognizes his time is short. More and more of the things he tries to do are falling apart. Tearing apart the White House, the National Algae Pool, the Kennedy Center. This July 4th debacle, the trip to NATO, was a disaster. And he knows it. But he was so, like I say, he's reeling. He's punch drunk. He can't sort out why it's so bad. But it's him. It's you, Donald. And finally, the war with Iran is back on full steam. We're hitting them with missiles. They're hitting ships and American bases in the Gulf. And the reaction from the White House is basically, I'm bored. I'm bored with it. I'm bored. I don't like it. I'm bored. You know, it's the old phrase. You may not be interested in the war, but the war is interested in you. The war he started with Iran. We have 19.7 million gallons left in the damn oil reserves, folks. We had managed in this little brief 20-day interregnum to start to put a little bit back in it. We're going to run it out through it once again. All of it comes down again. He knows he's losing on every front. He knows the polling. He's seeing the polling too. He's trying to convince himself it doesn't matter.
Well, I'll hold the Senate at least, and they won't impeach me.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. But Trump understands the political power he had will be gone in about 120 days. The power he had to intimidate and NATO and our allies around the world, that's gone. They were laughing their asses off about Donald Trump. He is, again, the crazy Facebook uncle who shows up to Thanksgiving. He's drunk and he's got opinions. And you know, you find a way to work around that person. You give them a couple extra glasses of wine so they go pass out on the Barca lounger. Okay? You stop fighting with them the way they want you to fight with them. Trump had a bad, bad, bad trip over there. But it was symbolic of a much worse and much deeper collapse of his power, his polling, his position in the world, his position even in American politics. All of it is slowly but surely adding up to a moment we've got to face. And that's that this is not going to last forever. Trump is not going to last forever. Now, we have many challenges ahead to unwind the damage he has done, but he's pathetic. This week, he was pathetic. That was sad. That was a sad, sad, sad adventure. And you know, his failures and his fuck-ups, they're concatenating. They're piling on one after the other after the other. And was a train wreck. So if you're punch drunk, if you're a drunken clown running around the room and you find that the adults are talking about the real things, the serious things behind your back, it hurts. For Trump, it hurts more because he's always had at the center of his ego that he's the only one who matters, that he's the one in control of the situation, the narrative, the moment. He's not. And that, my friends, is the elephant in the room.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/help. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.